Mike Francine challenges crowds of thousands of people to stone him if they don't see authentic miracles. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest, Mike Francine, has seen miracles that most people just read about and they say they're not true. Tell me the first miracle you remember seeing, Mike Francine.
The first miracle I ever saw was something that happened to my mother. We were not brought up in a church home at all, and I didn't believe in Christ. In fact, I professed to be an atheist, said I don't believe in, basketball was my religion. I believed in playing basketball, and that's what I did all of my life, every day. And to make a long story very short, a miracle happened to my mother. We weren't brought up in a church home, never went to church. They weren't Christians, they weren't, not even a religious flavor at all.
I'm so glad, you know why? I hate religion.
Nobody hates religion more than I hate religion.
We got something in common.
And a Christian religion can be just as despicable to me as any. If we've taken the Word of God and just made it traditions and superstition and religion.
Rules.
Yeah, it's
rules and traditions. See, I'm Jewish, and we got a corner in the market on tradition, but you Christians are catching up fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hate religion of all forms. And the first miracle I ever saw happened to my mother. And like I said, I claim to be an atheist. And I knew they weren't church people or didn't believe in God. A lady prayed for her. She had lockjaw and she had arthritis in her knee so bad she couldn't walk upstairs. And her jaw, she could only open it just maybe a half an inch.
Okay, I don't understand lockjaw. Is this something that just by itself gets better? Or?
No, it doesn't get better. She'd been to the doctor many times. There was nothing, they couldn't tell it. You know, she was eating a lot of her food through a straw and she'd get a hamburger and she'd have to smash it down just to try to squeeze it in her mouth. And the doctors couldn't do anything for her. They couldn't do anything for the arthritis in her knees. They gave her some different pain things and that, but she couldn't walk up and down stairs. And a lady prayed for her one day. And she was too embarrassed to reject the prayer, so she let her pray for her. And when she woke up the next morning, the pain was left her knees, her jaw was freed and open. And that was the first miracle I ever saw.
Did you believe it was a miracle?
I knew something happened because I saw a radical change in her life. And then it made a big difference to my father, who was far from living for God. And
better question, did you ever think that you would pray for people and see miracles far more spectacular than that?
No, in your
wildest imagination.
No, I never. Basketball was all the only future I ever saw.
I want to tease our people right now. There is a woman in the Bible that was hunched over. She had to walk looking at the floor. And the Messiah touched her and she was healed. In Tanzania, this very same thing happened to you. Tell me about it.
It was an awesome miracle. It was a Muslim woman who heard for 30 years, this woman for 30 years was bowed over. She walked, she had to walk on all fours, her hands on the ground.
I've seen people like that. It's the saddest thing.
It is. You know, all dignity has been stripped from their lives. They have nothing left. They can't stand and talk face to face. They look at people's feet. They look in the dirt.
She had to be so depressed.
Oh. She'd given up hope. For 3 months, she'd not even been outside of her home, and for 30 years bowed over. And then for 4 days, we had a five-day crusade in Tanzania, and for 4 days, she heard her friends and her neighbors come talking about the miracles of blind and deaf and cripples.
But why would a Muslim woman come? Because you believe in Jesus.
No hope. Her religion offered her no hope. Her religion offered her no help. There was nothing the doctors could do for her, nothing her religion could do for her. And now her friends, some of them were Muslims before, but came back talking about this Jesus, talking about the miracles, all of a sudden her friends came talking about this and she said, I've got to go. She, on the last day of the crusade, she said, I'm going. On her hands and knees, she hadn't even walked for the last 3 months, she'd not been outside of her mud hut for 3 months. She lived on top of a mountainside and on her hands and knees, she got up early that Sunday morning and she crawled on her hands and knees down a mountainside, crawled down a dirt road and crawled onto a bus. And it took her all day long to get to our crusade, and she got there that afternoon. She crawled into the stadium where we had just thousands of people packed in this place. And she crawled in there, and she sat, and she listened to me talk about Jesus Christ and His goodness and His faithfulness to fulfill His promises as I proclaimed Him.
What happened?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come. I'm going to hit you over the head.
It was, to see the miracles, people say, what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? You know, there's so many.
I want to know about her. I want to know about this one. You can't do that, Mike Francis.
I've got a video you could buy, and you could see the whole thing.
I have a box top to send you. Now tell me.
She sat there. She listened to me preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. She crawled up right next to the platform. And then I began to pray a mass prayer for the sick. When I asked how many of you want to receive Jesus Christ, she didn't really do anything. She prayed the prayer, went through the motion.
What do you expect a Muslim person to do?
You can't expect it. Then I prayed a mass prayer for the sick, and all of a sudden her body began to shake and just quiver. And she felt, and she came up in a little bit and told me the story. She said, my body began to shake, my arms shook and my legs shook. And then I said, now I want you, I just spoke to the crowd of mass. I didn't know she was there. You know, people say, oh, look at Mike Francine, he's got great faith for healing. Mike, you had great faith for her to be healed. I didn't even know she was there. Don't blame me. It's God honoring his word. Don't blame me for the miracles. It's God.
In other words, you
Jesus
state
Christ.
Truth, that builds their faith and causes a miracle to happen.
That's what happened to her. I prayed a mass prayer for the sick. God began to touch her. And then I said, do what you can't do before, what you could not do before, and see if God has given you a miracle. Well, she felt something shake and happen to her body, so she began to stand to her feet. And for the first time in 3 months, she was standing, but she was still bowed over. Now I said, do what you couldn't do before. All of a sudden, she began to straighten up, and she came up on the platform, and for the first time in 30 years, she stood up straight, and she held her hands up, and the crowd just went wild. But the story went on from there. She went back home.
And when how did she go back home?
She walked back home.
She straight and erect.
Dignity. I mean, she held her head, just the
how
smile.
How old a woman would you say she
was? I would say she was in her 60s, late 60s.
So had she been this way her whole life?
For 30 years she'd been bowed over. And so all of her friends knew it. And so we took her home.
Seeing nothing but the ground. Well, I mean, I can't think of anything more depressing.
No. I mean, she had no hope, but Jesus gives hope. And hope is the foundation of faith, and faith brings our miracles from God.
So she went home, and what happened?
When she went home, we drove her home because we heard her story. It was just a phenomenal story, and she had a great face. So we need to just interview her for posterity's sake, if nothing else. And so when we went home, we drove up this mountain, and then one of the pastors walked up there with her, and he was holding her by the arm. When she got near her home, she shook her arm loose. She said, let go of me. She said, I told my friends and my neighbors I was going to get healed. And she said, I want them to see what God has done. She walked home, walking up straight. All of her neighbors began, look at, Mama got healed. Mama got healed. Mama got her miracle. And it just, I mean, the gospel was preached in that little village, even though some of them never went to the crusade.
You think that's a good miracle? Wait till you hear how this whole phenomena, a miracle, started with Mike Francine. It's amazing, and guess what? God's not a respecter of persons. Guess what that means? What he did for this woman, he can do for you. All things are possible to those who believe. Don't go away.
We'll return to more of Sid Roth and It's Supernatural.
Hi, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to Mike Francine, and I want to find out how blind people get their sight back. Deaf hear. I mean, did God come to you one day and call your name out three times and say, Mike Francine, go to Africa and you will see miracles?
It was interesting the way that this all came about to happen. To me, I accepted Christ 2 years after my mother had gotten healed, and I realized that I better make a decision on what my eternal destiny is going to be. And I got a hold of one of T.L. Osborne's books. T.L. Osborne has probably preached to more people face-to-face than anyone has ever lived. Just, you know, for nearly 60 years, he's traveled the world with the gospel and had massive crowds of hundreds of thousands of people.
I remember reading a book about him, and he went to a foreign country and came back so discouraged and burnt out, and then he went back and miracles happened, and everything changed.
The first place he ever went to was India, and he went there for a 5-year tenure and came home after 10 or 11 months defeated because he couldn't convince the multitudes. You see, the only thing that separates what we have from all the religions in the world, it's not a prayer meeting, because they all have prayer meetings. It's not a book. It's not our Bible, because they've got. You can't go to India and open your book. They've got their own books. The Buddhists have, everybody's got their own holy writings. Mm-hmm. They all have their holy service. They all have their religious prayers, and they all have their songs. The only thing that separates what we believe from all the religions in the world, it's miracles. And that's what T.L. didn't go to India with the first time. He didn't go with the miracles. He went trying to convince them, trying to persuade them by simply opening a book. But you see, Jesus qualified his life by miracles. He said, go and tell John the things that you do see and hear, the blind see, the lame walk. T.L. went back to India years later after he had gotten the revelation and the understanding that God uses miracles today just as he did in Bible days. Jesus never changes. And so he went back with that and shook the world in incredible ways. Tens of thousands of churches going today.
I want to know what happened to you, because you're just a nice, normal American. Yeah. You have an experience with God. You want to serve him. How does someone get from point A to having thousands of people and these miracle healings?
It was, I guess, the brief version of that. I saw one of T.L. Osborne's books called Soul Winning, and I saw the pictures, and I saw the crusades, and I saw the miracle testimonies. And I thought, I've got to spend my life going to the world and telling people that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead. It's not another religion. He's living today. And so I saw that, and I made plans. And it was shortly after that, I found myself in Nigeria with one of the great men of God. Recently went home to be with the Lord, but his name is Benson Idahosa.
I knew him.
And powerful man. I mean, just, you know, I could spend all day telling miracle stories of things about him. But I sat there and I watched him in crusades, and I lived with him in his home for 3 months in 1984. And he took me from crusade to crusade, and I met T.L. Osborne at that time. And I watched them as they prayed for the sick. And I watched the miracles, and I watched all these different things. And then as I sat on one of his crusade platforms, and I watched T.L. Osborne, and I watched Benson Idahosa preaching and praying for the sick and miracles happening, it was like 1,000 voices began to whirl on the inside of my head. You can do this. You can do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And it was just bombarding my ears. And I went back in December of 1984. I left Nigeria in January of 85. I went and started doing my own miracle crusades.
Well, how did you start, just out of curiosity?
When I was in Nigeria, I'd spent those 3 months with Idahosa, and I asked him several questions the last day I was there, and I said, Papa, what am I supposed to do now? I said, you've never done this for anybody, and you've invited me here, and you said I need to learn how to do big crusades. What am I supposed to do now? He said, son, go thou and do likewise. Well, nobody told me I couldn't do it. I said, okay, that's good enough for me. And so the next month, I got on a plane and went to the Philippines. Didn't know anybody there. Had never been there before. Jesus just said, go. And so I went there, and I had a massive budget of $120 for my first crusade. And I got over there, and I made a few flyers, a few posters and handbills. I made 2 15-second radio spots on this little 5-watt radio station that didn't do anything.
You didn't have much money.
I had $120 for my first budget.
$120. So how many people came to your first meeting?
In that first crusade, we saw more than 4,000 people accept Christ. We had
your first time. How old were you?
I was 22.
22 years old, yeah. You take a plane to the Philippines, you have a little over $100, yeah. You put up a couple of little flyers.
Bring the blind
tell
and
me,
deaf and the cripples.
Tell me your first thoughts. I mean, you're still kind of, was there a little fear?
There wasn't any fear in the beginning. You know, I went over to Benson Idahosa said, son, go down and do likewise. So I did. I couldn't make the nice colorful posters he had, but I made these tiny little posters that said, mm-hmm. Miracle Healing Crusade. Bring the blind, the deaf, and the cripples, and Jesus will heal them all. And I put
up a few
of those.
Did many sick people come in?
I got there the first night of my first crusade. I was there with excitement. When I got there the first night, I looked at those people. I never seen so many sick people all my life. I said, my God, what have I done? And they were carrying them in on stretchers. They were leading the blind in. I saw women with huge goiters hanging off of their throats. And I have never seen so many sick people in all of my life as what I saw that first day.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to see a clip right now from the Philippines. And this is a lady that was born deaf and dumb. Do you remember her?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a powerful testimony.
Tell me about her.
I'm not sure which one they're showing now, because there was several in this clip.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just show it right
okay,
now.
Okay, we'll show it.
Woman from the Philippines. This
precious 23-year-old Filipino woman was born deaf and dumb. Silence was the only world she had known. Her friend who came with her to the crusade testified that she had never spoken a word in her life. But this night, Jesus proved himself alive as her ears were opened and her tongue loosed. She spoke her name for the very first time. Tears of overwhelming joy covered her face as the reality of the miracle dawned.
Listen, how would you like to be a young man, Mike Francine, start to see these miracles and then make a statement, stone me if you don't see miracles? You better have the goods. I mean, you really better. Can you picture being in a foreign country? I mean, I'm not talking about it, New York City. I'm talking about foreign country. Stone me if you don't see miracles. We'll be right back and we'll find out if he got stoned.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, it's Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. What could possess a young man out in a foreign country, thousands of people listening to him? He comes out and he says, if you don't see a legitimate miracle, I mean, don't not come back the next day, you can stone me. Were you out of your mind? How did you even think to say something like that? You were telling me something about the man that mentored you, so to speak, Benson mm-hmm. Idiosa, who was a tremendous man of God in Africa, Nigeria. Yeah. What did you see him do?
The first time in 1984 when I saw his first crusades, and I'd seen the pictures, but it's different when you're there. And God was just pouring so much in my life at that time. And I saw Benson Idiosa stand up, and I went to three of his crusades, and I saw him stand up in one of the crusades. And people were challenging him. They said, oh, there's no miracles there. And he's had incredible things that God had used him to do. One time, the police brought, you know, he had talked about, you know, Jesus had gone to all the world and how, you know, you could raise the dead or things. During one of his crusades, the police threw a corpse on his stage to mock him in front of all these people. And you know, I don't know if it was a gift of faith or something came over him, and Benson looked over at them and just peered. I mean, he had a piercing eyes, and he looked at them and he went over and grabbed that corpse and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come. And in a moment of time, that dead person came back to life. I mean,
we Jewish people have a word called chutzpah, nerve.
Yeah.
Benson had chutzpah.
Yeah. I saw so many things like that. I wasn't there at that particular one. But what I saw him do, one of the crusades, when we were in a city, it was tough. They were resistant to the gospel. There's very strong Muslim, Islamic hold in the nation of Nigeria. And I was there, and he stood up and he said, if there are no miracles here, he said, you stone me. If Jesus does nothing here when we pray, he says, you stone me. And I'm watching this as a young 22-year-old man. And then I saw him on the second day of that crusade. And things were tough, and he was just preaching, and there was a paralyzed woman, paralyzed from the neck down for years. He said, bring that woman up on the stage. And I'm just on the edge of my seat, and what is going on here?
If you're going to pick someone with a headache.
Yeah, yeah. You know, any backaches here, you know, just come up here. He said, bring that woman. She was laying there, couldn't move her fingers, couldn't move her. Carry that woman on, and they flopped her up like just a bag of rock. You know, just she laid there on the stage, couldn't move. And he begins to build this story. He says, I'm going to pray. And he says, if this woman walks, you will know that Jesus is the Christ. And if she doesn't, you'll know that I'm a false prophet. And so I'm about ready to run off the stage or something at that point.
That's right. It could be contagious.
Oh, yeah. And so he takes her by the hand and he says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he almost pulled her arm out of the socket. He said, get up and walk. And she got up and she started walking and she started dancing. And the crowd, I mean, the place went wild. There was probably 40 or 50,000 people in that field, and they went wild.
You realize what would have happened if she had fallen down.
Thank God she
collapsed.
Walked.
I mean, can you imagine what would have...
Thank God she walked.
I guess that's nothing more you can say than that.
Yeah, I mean,
so you had seen that, so what did you do?
Well, my first crusade, you know, see, I just remember Benson's words, and he said, son, go thou and do likewise. And Jesus said, go into all the world. And he said, these signs shall follow. And so my first crusade, I get to the first night, and I'm looking there, I'm seeing all these sick people, and I said, my God. And you asked, were you afraid, or are you scared, or concerned? I saw all those sick people that first night. I ran behind the stage, you know, faith man, you know. I ran behind the stage of that first crusade, and I said, my God, what have I done? And I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry, I'll never do this again. I just said, get me out of this, God. Because I was scared, I didn't know what to do.
I can understand.
I told them to come, and they came. I guess I was halfway expecting they wouldn't. Then a thought came to me. I didn't come here in the name of a church. I didn't come with the name of religion. I didn't come in my own name. I came in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I said, when that thought came to me, I grabbed the microphone and I preached one of Benson's messages, and I preached like I'd preached 1,000 times before. And then I began to make statements like I heard him make. Jesus is the Son of God, and we're going to pray for the sick. And if the sick get healed, you'll know he's the Christ. But if they don't, you go ahead and you stone me, and you run me out of your
town. This was your first meeting?
First crusade.
Oh, I can imagine how you are right now. So what happened? I mean, you told me there were some very sick people in the crowd.
The first person to testify was a man who had been in a war, and a shell went off and left him totally deaf for 35 years. I prayed like I saw him pray. I preached his message. I shared his testimonies. First man, totally deaf, 35 years. The next man was a man who had not walked or had not spoken in 7 years. And he got up and he was walking and talking incredible things. So I come back the second night of the crusade. And I'm just, I'm filled with boldness and confidence and probably some stupidity. But thank God he sees past our stupidity sometimes. And I remember Benson, while I was preaching, I remember all of a sudden this thought came. Yeah, he picked up that crippled woman. And so I remember seeing a woman came. She had two crutches, and she had a man in each arm that helped her get there. And I watched her come in that night. And so while I'm preaching, all of a sudden I remember what Benson did. And I looked and I said, bring that woman up on the stage. And her legs were dead. I mean, they were useless.
Dead.
and I said, bring her up on the stage. And I said, put her in this chair. So she's sitting there. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to make an issue. I said, I'm going to pray. And I said, if this woman walks, you will know that Jesus is the Christ. And if she doesn't, you'll know that I'm a false prophet. And I'm just like Benson.
Weren't you fearful?
At that point, I wasn't.
So, what happened? And you better tell me.
I grabbed her by the hand. And if you buy my videotape, you can see exactly what happened.
What happened?
I grabbed her by the hand.
I'll buy your tape.
It's not on tape. It was my first crusade. I grabbed her hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And I pulled her, and thank God she got up and walked. She walked, she started trotting back and forth across the stage. I mean, the audience went wild. An incredible miracle. And then when you give an altar call and ask people, how many of you want to accept Christ, after they see something like that happening, their hearts.
Okay, I want you to see something like that happen. We're going to take you to a Mike Francine campaign that is in Thailand. And as a matter of fact, this is someone that needs to learn how to walk also.
For 11 years, this woman had not walked. The headman of her village brought her to the campaign where she received a miracle. He verified her story in the newfound miracle. Her first steps may have been shaky, but the smile on her face testified of the amazing miracle. She is walking. Her joy is spread across the entire mass of people who witness her first steps in 11 years. The cripples are walking.
What does it feel like, Mike Francine? What does it feel like to see someone like her walk that couldn't walk? The blind see, the deaf hear. What is it like?
You know, I've been doing this for 14 years, and the miracles never get old. The testimonies never get old. I look at that, and I look in their eyes, and I see Jesus in their eyes. And you look at her, for 11 years, she had not stood on those legs. Oh, you say, well, she wasn't running. This is the first time she stood in 11 years, let alone walk. And the headman, that was like the chief of that village, came. They jumped in the back of a pickup truck. They heard about the crusade. They came. And this woman prayed. She had not stood on her legs for 11 years. She had not walked in 11 years, not one step, not standing for 1 second. And there she is. After we pray a mass prayer for the sick, we said, now do what you couldn't do. All of a sudden, she's there walking in, and we went on later, and she walked back to that truck. She walked. Incredible miracle.
What kind of miracle do you need? Maybe it is walking. Maybe it's hearing. Maybe it's the heart. Maybe it's cancer in your body. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's high blood pressure. Maybe it's pains in your body, your back and your neck. Would you remember the very first message that Mike gave? He said, I don't come in my own name. I don't come in the name of a religion. I don't come in the name of a particular group. I come in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And it's in His name you are healed, because the Word of God says, by His stripes blood flowed. By His stripes you were healed. And then Mike said, do something you couldn't do before. So I say to you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, do something you could not do before. Bend that elbow, move that head. Headaches, huh? They're a thing of the past. The eyes are being healed, the gums, the teeth, whatever you need. It doesn't matter whether I said it or not, because he paid the price for all. He's not a respecter of persons. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Do something and praise God. Lift your hands like King David did, all the way above your head. Lift holy hands to God, and you'll see that he is a God that does miracles.